Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 551, Sonic the Hedgehog.
The movie that almost destroyed itself.
Yeah. I don't know if I saw the right one. Mine had Ron Jeremy in it.
No, you're fine. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, yeah. Those weren't rings. Well, it was kind of a ring.
It was a type of ring.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I went through and watched the complete animated series of Sonic the Hedgehog voiced by Jaleel White. Was that not what we were supposed to do?
Was that a thing?
Yeah. He was the voice of Sonic.
That's funny.
Like, I grew up watching as a kid, and I also loved Family Matters, and I never put the two together until I was an adult.
Well,
as a kid, he was
Stefan Urkel.
Well, yes. A little
Sonic.
Cooler on
yeah,
Sonic.
Cooler yeah. on Sonic.
But it's just funny, those things as a kid.
I did the same thing with the show Punky Brewster. And the cartoon Punky Brewster.
Was there a cartoon Punky Brewster?
Yeah, there was.
Oh.
When I was a kid.
Did Jaleel White voice Punky Brewster?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's
when I was a kid, the cartoon, they would make all these cartoons, Saturday morning cartoons based on TV shows. So it was crazy. You had like a Happy Days cartoon.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And it was like Fonzie and the Cool Gang or something. And then there was one that was like an hour block of all those Gary Marshall shows
as cartoons.
And so it was called like Fonzie and the Gang, and like you would get a Happy Days one, except because it's Saturday morning cartoons, it's like Fonzie had a dog named Cool, right. And then they would travel around in a spaceship.
I like it.
Oh, I don't know.
That's real, isn't it? Because I remember Fonzie
totally
in a spaceship.
Yeah, like, no, it's a totally real thing. And then there was a little Laverne and Shirley one, except they were in the army, and their drill sergeant was a pig.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you telling me...
And then there was a Mork and Mindy, but they couldn't get...
Robin Williams.
They couldn't get Robin Williams because he was too coked up. And so I believe it was Dave Coulier.
Really?
Before, like, a pre
interesting
Full House Dave Coulier.
That's so cool to find out who did the voices for stuff back then when you didn't realize as a kid or when you were younger who did them. And
then
it's kind of like when you watch a movie and there's nobodies in it and then they become stars.
There's somebodies.
And you go back and watch and you're like, wait a minute. You're like, I don't know. Bill Paxton was in the Terminator.
Bill Paxton when did I just see that Bill Paxton is the only one to be killed by a Terminator,
a predator,
and an alien.
Yep.
All three of them.
Yep.
Now owned by Disney. But when I was a kid, we had Bill and Ted, Back to the Future, Teen Wolf, RoboCop,
everything,
Rambo.
Beetlejuice.
I love it when there's Swamp Thing,
when they take R-rated movies and turn them into children's TV shows.
The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Like, that had no business being a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, so Fonzie and the gang, you got Henry Winkler as the Fonz, you got Ron Howard as Richie. I don't remember Richie being in it all that much, but I don't. And you got Don Most as Ralph Mouth, which should come as a shock to nobody. And then the dog, Mr. Cool, was
Mr. Cool was
Frank Welker.
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
Was it an animal and a cartoon? Oh, Frank Welker.
And then Cupcake was Dee Dee Khan.
Should I know who that is?
She was the squeaky voice girl in Grease.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
Beauty School Dropout one.
Yeah, okay.
And she was also on Benson. She was the secretary on Benson.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Wolfman Jack was the narrator.
Of course he was.
Additional voices by René Auberjonneau.
Ooh. Not Goulier.
No. Oh. That he was also on Benson.
Was he?
Yeah. And he's the voice of isn't he the voice of something in Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, is Robbie Clocksworth? Benson? That's Robbie Benson.
No.
Right?
René.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the French guy was the Candlestick. But what? It was.
That's accurate.
He's the chef in Little Mermaid.
Ah, there you go. Yep.
Yeah. I knew he did one of the big Disney ones.
I think you must have because you said Benson. Isn't Robbie Benson the voice of the Beast?
Yes, he
so
is.
So I thought maybe there was like
but he was also.
Well, Benson was a short black man. So.
Right. I'm just thinking there was a cross wire sure. in the brain there.
But he was Odo on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know who that guy
and
is.
And he's also the original Father Mulcahy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of cartoons in the 80s that should not have been cartoons.
It was crazy time. Crazy
Can we just
time.
Make this into a cartoon? Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah,
pretty much.
We're going to get this PTSD-laden Vietnam War vet. He's a superhero now? Yeah.
Did okay. they ever do a Smokey and the Bandit cartoon?
They did not.
Because I feel like that would have been ripe for Saturday morning antics.
I mean, there were all kinds of...
Could have been smuggling root beer across the country.
Transformers and
well, the second one, they're smuggling an elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? See, that works.
Like, so, yeah.
Zany
yeah.
enough.
What was the... Was it GoBots? Was that even a cartoon or was that just a toy line?
They... GoBots
or
were the,
vice versa.
The knockoff Transformers. They usually made a cartoon for everything, though, to sell them.
That's
those.
What
so
I was
they
thinking.
They may have had a cartoon.
Yeah, probably.
I think they did.
But yeah, it was Transformers.
I definitely didn't watch it,
Mask
but...
Silverhawks and Thundercats. Masters of the Universe.
I still love that online video where Optimus, no, who is it? Megatron and Optimus are sitting and talking, and one of the GoBots is their waiter, and that's when Megatron asks him for a drink, and he goes, "But just a twist."
Yeah, that was I remember the aftercare I would go to after like grade school or whatever. Yeah. They would have people would just. Have toys or whatever, and you look, you're like, man, I'm playing with fucking GoBots. Like, this is the worst. No, thank you. I'm gonna go over here and do my homework, I guess.
Right.
And play with the GoBots.
I don't want to be seen with GoBots.
God, you can't even get mask. Ugh.
Oh, it's also the pig.
Yeah.
From the Laverne and Shirley one.
Oh, sure.
What Sergeant Squealy?
Excuse me.
Yeah. Ron Palillo.
Who's that?
Arnold Horshack.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Who was also in Friday the 13th Part 6.
Was he?
Yeah. He's a buddy that gets murdered in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Well, save some of your reference energy because we have video game movies to talk about.
I know, that's true, yeah.
I've got nothing, so I can expend all my energy now. So I guess before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go rate, review, subscribe. Be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And you can also join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show this week. Librarian Cynthia, Carl Clarkson, Travis Tewitt, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris Sanders, Zara Vandercreek, Chris Williams, Douglas Baldick, Ralph Tribble, Brad Hyen, Anaya Brunson, Laura Conley, Quiddick, Tom Kaminsky, there's no N. Sorry, Tom.
I'm sure he's used to it by now.
Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, Susan Carlson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Lane Levanway, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Samuel Banks, Jason Weesey, Ron Johnson, and of course, the best one ever.
What do you mean, of course?
Tom O'Keefe.
I can never have just one thing.
No, yeah. You cannot.
Very sneaky, Tom.
I got purposefully sick. Just so I could join. I was going around licking doorknobs.
Oh,
I'm like, I will get sick so I can join the
League
of Show
Sharers.
I know
you like knobs.
Well done. Yeah. Well done. Good job.
I lost 3.5 pounds.
No, you lost in general.
I lost 3.5 pounds in a single day.
Yeah, it's rough.
Like that is
rough.
It was pretty ugly.
Yeah, no, thank you.
There's a reason we
did it at our house.
Yeah, I did. As soon as you said that, I'm like, yeah, we can just Skype. It's really no problem at all.
Until Kevin started editing, he's like, this is a big problem.
Yeah, great episode, fun time. but I forgot when, because usually when we have a Skype guest, we're in the studio and we're all local. So it's our local files plus one Skype. And I forgot when you record Skype through our normal software, it is like me and then whoever else I'm talking to mixed on one track. So I had to pull out one audio track from one that was mixed out of two. And
he sent me a picture of like what it looks like. I was like,
yeah, let's just say 1 hour episode took 4 hours to edit.
Yikes.
So
good times.
I wonder if there's a service that'll do that for you.
There is.
Do you want to pay for it?
Maybe, depending on how much it is.
What are we looking at? $50? $100 an episode?
I'll tell you what, your wife might come a couple months.
That's all right. She'll be happy to have me go somewhere else.
But yeah, it was weird. I got in two parts.
Ooh.
Because like I got the fever and nothing else.
Oh.
And then 2 weeks later, I got the stomach aspect.
Gill.
So
no bueno.
Good times.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess there's all that. Let's talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. Was there fan service in this? I know nothing. I've played the game a couple times, like the original one a million years ago. I was a little upset when they showed the Sega thing at the beginning that it didn't go Sega.
It did a little bit. Oh, that one. Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
And then I never played any of them again.
I think that there is some fan service, but it's really smartly woven in.
That was my favorite part about it because, you know, a lot of these fan service has kind of become a dirty word, but it shouldn't have to be. I mean, you're taking care of the fans. If you do it right,
yeah, you do it the right way. It's really good.
And so with this one, they don't knock you over the head. They, you know, they name, first of all, the city that they live in is the first level of the Sega Genesis game.
Right.
But if you didn't know that, if you didn't play the game, you would just go right by it.
It's a town in Montana.
It's really clever how they did that. They put little things in there. I mean, even as much as, you know, something further down the line, but where they label something on a box, and that label is alluding to, or it's an Easter egg for one of the more obscure games or something down the road. But you would never know that, but for fans, I mean, general audiences wouldn't catch it. For fans, though, you love seeing that stuff.
Yeah, the end look for Dr. Robotnik is,
oh my gosh,
is the look for the game.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So like the entire time, he doesn't look like that in the movie, but when he gets to the end, he's got that big bushy mustache and the bald head and the goggles.
Okay. And
that's what he looks like in the game.
And that's one of those things that you would never imagine anyone in live action, like, how can they possibly pull that off? And he pulls it off 1,000%. Like, if you were going to bring that, like, do you know what Dr. Robotnik looks like in those games?
No, huge
circular, they call him Eggman in Japan. He's just a big, round, crazy mustache, you know, goggles on, bald. Like, he's a crazy looking character, right?
He's a very, very cartoonish looking character.
And the way that they fit Jim Carrey with that eventually, you know, is like, wow, they nailed that look.
I think it kind of works. I mean, one, because it's a kid's movie,
sure.
But two, because they don't start there.
Yeah.
And so, like, they send him to this other realm, and then he's already crazy, and it makes him crazier.
Yeah, right.
So, like, it. Like,
you didn't have to look at it the whole time, and then you're like, whoa, he's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
No, he's gone crazy.
Before we get into the movie, though, I wanted to ask what experience or what your favorite video game adaptations were before this, because we know video game movies don't have a great track record, right?
No, I think you're being nice.
So
they haven't. Awful track record.
And we thought, for instance, that Alicia Vikander Tomb Raider was pretty good.
By the way, is apparently rumored to be Jessica Drew.
Oh.
Which I think is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
But that movie that we thought was pretty good has like a 55% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So the best of the best movies are somewhere in the 50% ratings with critics. And so right now, Sonic is the number 3 highest reviewed video game adaptation of all time behind Angry Birds, which is like, does that really? I mean, it's a phone app, but okay.
That's a video game.
I count that.
But it's just like it's right there on the
edge. Hang on.
Please.
You're the one that sticks up for Netflix counts as movies.
Right.
But Angry Birds doesn't count as a video game because it's on your phone.
20 years ago. No. Okay.
Okay, Spielberg.
30 years ago, Angry Birds is an NES game. It's just technology has caught up to where.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's just funny. I don't really think of apps as games.
The interesting thing is like. Okay, the age difference?
Yeah.
Because there's, about 20 years between us?
Yeah.
So when I was younger, I would have had the same opinion of games released straight to a system but never an arcade.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Like,
I never thought about
that. If a game went straight to a system, it was like the equivalent of direct-to-video.
Right.
If it was really good, they'd have put it in an arcade.
I paid money.
Right.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And where it's like nowadays, I mean, no. First of all, no one goes to an arcade.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, which is a shame, three new arcade games a year, and they're designed for 50-year-old salesmen to play in Hooters.
Right. That's hilarious. So anyway, the track record isn't great, but number one is Angry Birds, and what is number two? I just had forgotten it. I thought of it.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, right. No. what the heck was the number?
Street Fighter.
No.
Double Dragon.
I was going to start talking about those, but we're talking about the best ones.
Detective Pikachu?
Detective Pikachu, thank you.
Oh, so, that makes sense.
So now Sonic lands right in the number three.
Although, I would say no.
What do you mean?
Because Pikachu is a card game first, and then a video game.
But Detective Pikachu was a video
game.
That's
true.
But it's still based on a card game.
That is also true.
But you're right, though. Detective Pikachu was only
I got this debate on the radio the other day. We were talking about the host, who's even older than me, is like, oh, there's so many movies based on video games. And I'm like, there aren't as many as you might think.
No, not really. There was
a run of them.
Yeah.
And then they stopped because they got real bad.
Right. And I'm like, but... And, you know, and then he threw out Pikachu, and I was like, Pikachu's based on a card game. It became a video game.
Yes.
But, you know.
But Detective Pikachu was a video game first. Mm. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard line
to
walk.
There would be no Detective Pikachu.
Sure. That
had
is
there
true.
Not been the card game
yes,
first.
Yes,
but
correct.
If you're adapting the game story versus the game concept, you know, that's a tricky line to walk.
If they had made a Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I grew up, it was like Super Mario Brothers.
Oof.
I mean, and it's by the bad. Way, just to preface this, I love all these movies. Like, I'm unabashedly like.
Why? What about?
I grew up with them. I love games, and I grew up with these movies. I just love them.
Okay.
They're not. I mean, I look at these movies.
The same way that, like, Dan and I love, like, that crappy Spider-Man and Captain America TV shows from when we were kids.
Yeah,
what do you mean crappy?
Because they're crappy.
Yeah. They are not.
Those Captain America movies that they made.
Oh, yeah. Terrible. Yeah.
They're awful.
But like, that's all you had.
Yeah.
That's all you had.
The Andrew, he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The guy who played Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Garfield?
No, the original one.
Oh, okay.
From the 70s.
Yeah, he was the director.
Was that him? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's the guy that DiCaprio was like, I'd give him the big mustache. Yeah. And that's the guy that played Spider-Man.
But I grew up with
these. We watched one. We did one for Patreon.
We did?
Yeah.
Spider-Man?
Yes, the Spider-Man TV movie.
Oh, he was in that?
So he's Spider-Man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's Peter Parker.
So, but growing up, you know, I played Super Mario Brothers when I was 2 years old.
Sure, sure.
So growing up and being able to see these characters that you love playing the game, you know, I played all these NES games and I could see Mario Brothers or Double Dragon or Street Fighter, you know, with Raul Julia and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, and
Kylie Minogue.
Those movies aren't good movies. When you think about, you know, I'm not going to go Citizen Kane and, you know,
Godfather.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers.
And then Super Mario Brothers. It's not that, but of course there's, you know, a movie.
Dennis Hopper in that?
That's Mario Brothers.
That's Koopa.
He's Koopa.
He was Koopa, right? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
But these movies, they give you that nostalgia factor, and they're just fun, goofy movies. And so I love all these. Like, I went back and I watched Double Dragon recently. Still love it.
Man.
Mark Dukakis.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Who's the girl? Is it Melissa Milano?
It could be, but I know the guy, wasn't it? It's one of the guys from Party of Five is the other brother.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mark
something.
Scott Wolf.
Yes.
You go back and watch these movies and they're fun and I'm enjoying watching them with Ryan. What are the other ones though? So Mortal Kombat.
One and two.
Which is Enter the Dragon.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Mortal Kombat
characters. Yeah.
They took the exact
We're going to take an Asian character and put him on an island and have him fight a tournament. Yeah. Nobody's done that before, right?
No.
No, not
perfect.
The most famous martial arts movie of all time.
That was Robin.
That's the Resident Evil guy.
The Resident the actor that played Liu Kang.
Oh.
Robin. He's the same one that's in Beverly Hills,
Beverly Hills Ninja
with Chris Farley. His name is Robin something. I can't remember his last name for some reason. Yes, Robin Thicke plays the Asian martial artist. That was a different time.
The guy that directed that is the Resident Evil guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul W.S. Anderson?
Because it's not Paul. It's not Paul Thomas Anderson.
Right, Paul W.S.
Anderson, yeah. Is it Mila Jovovich's
husband? That's why she's in all the Resident Evil movies.
So, like I said, I grew up with those movies, and I'll always have a special place for them in my heart. You know, it's like...
I hate those movies because they destroy what I loved about those games.
What do you mean? How do they destroy what you love?
Because that's
Super Mario. I grew up playing games, and I love all
that
them.
That Super Mario Brothers movie has nothing to do... It's just, they're awful movies. They're awful. Like, I'll give you Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter because there's just like, they're just goofy enough. Like, they don't take themselves.
But it's the same thing Mario Brothers does. They're not great movies, like great films, but they're kids' movies, first of all.
There's just an element of silliness to like Double Dragon and Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat that is not there with Super Mario Brothers. I don't know why, but it just does not compute in my brain.
You know what I love about it, though?
No.
It's weird.
It is very weird.
They went and they did something.
The cats of video games.
It really is.
Yeah. It's so strange. Like what you said is valid. It's not directly adapted from any Mario Brothers story.
Sure. Right? Well, I think that's the problem, right? Is video games didn't have much story to adapt.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you look at like Donkey Kong and it's like he's running around on girders and then in the next one it's elevators and then the next one he's at a pie factory.
Yeah. What?
Like what? Like why? None of this makes any sense.
Well, look at Mario Brothers. It's like Bowser captured the princess. She's in another castle. Okay. Let's check in another castle. Yeah. I mean, there's
but
only
at least Double Dragon. You're like, oh, they took my girlfriend.
Yeah.
But then I have to fight my brother to have sex with my girlfriend who's not. We'll see what happens.
But they're very basic premises. But Mario Brothers, they did something crazy, you know, not to get into that whole thing, but they didn't follow a even close to a real story other than Koopa takes Daisy, who is supposed to be Princess Peach. But the world they build is insane. The just the visuals of it. It's a weird movie.
Yeah,
and I really like it. So that one is just too weird to not enjoy. So again, they don't have a great track record. They don't do very well in general, like at the box office. There's been some successes, like Detective Pikachu recently. That
I think didn't even Tomb Raider make money.
I think it did okay.
I think it did all
right. I haven't even heard of a sequel in development.
I think there was one. But then that movie happened, and they're just like,
"That's what I'm saying." It's one of those things where it did really.
That was the goal.
Yes,
but,
yes.
So it's like if you don't hear about one that's coming out anytime soon. So, you know, these movies though, if they can get them right, and we've seen that with Detective Pikachu,
sure.
And I think we definitely see that with Sonic. And the biggest thing that happened, of course, was last July or whatever, they released that design. Which that Nightmare Fuel design with the sharp teeth and the little beady eyes and it was horrible. And
it was crazy to see everybody's like, F this.
I've never seen the internet as a whole come together for good like this. You know, I mean, people say bad things or negative things about trailers and movies all the time, right? But this was a unanimous movement. And I've also never seen a studio react like this. Have you? I have never heard of a studio taking a reaction to something and changing it and just being like, okay, we're going to listen to you. And I was so worried leading up to this weekend, which we haven't even talked about what the box office predictions are yet, but I was so worried leading up to this that they would pull this movie, delay it, spend something like $8 to $10 million to fix it, and then people would be like, cool, I'm not going to see that movie.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the biggest fear is they listen to the fans and then they get screwed over.
Right.
But this movie now is on track to break the Detective Pikachu opening record. It was estimated to make like $50 million, which is huge, right?
It's a big weekend.
Over the 4-day weekend, it's supposed to be like $50 million, gigantic. Birds of Prey opened to 32, just to put it in perspective. So this movie now they're talking about is going to be $60+ million
over the 4-day weekend.
Over the 4-day weekend, which is, I mean,
50 over just the 3-day.
Yeah.
So that is gigantic.
It's massive. The only concern I have, I mean, they made the right call. Let's put that front and center. Is they made the right call to change the design of Sonic. My only fear is this is going to start a trend where people are going to get pissed when studios don't listen. They're like, well, you did it for Sonic. Why won't you listen to me about whatever, you know, Harley Quinn's not sexy enough, so make her sexier. You know, like, so that is my only fear, is that this is going to open the floodgates and studios who traditionally don't listen to anybody, right? Here's your wrestling corner. They wanted to turn the fan. John Cena, when he was at his most quote unquote popular, was the most he was the biggest bad guy in the company, but they refused to turn him because they didn't want to mess up the merchandise.
Right, he
sales.
Was a good guy, but he was good, hated.
Oh, he, like, as soon as he came out, he was getting booed louder than anybody on the card.
Oh, so he's always been a douche.
Yeah.
He was a good guy, people still
he
hated
was a
him.
Key, they wanted him to be like the Hulk Hogan, right. All-American,
but
apple
kids
pie.
Loved him, but adults thought he was
but
a
here's,
douche.
But the kids aren't, the adults are the ones spending the money.
Yeah, but no, but Johnny wants a Cena hat, and you can't when, see me when, wristbands.
When
and,
CM Punk... was their top, he was outselling John Cena as the good guy, but they still wouldn't put the company behind him because he didn't look like John Cena.
Yeah.
So traditionally companies don't listen to what people want.
And I mean, to be fair, that's to their advantage because number one, most people don't know what they want.
Well, also a lot of times the people that make the most noise on the internet are the stupidest.
Also correct.
And so like you really got to be careful of
what you're listening to.
Of what you're listening
to. Well, and that was my rebuttal.
That's the Harley Quinn thing. Yeah. Where she's not sexy enough.
Or Star Wars.
You're dumb.
To your point, though, see, if the only people that are stupid enough to get mad about a studio not listening to them are a very vocal minority, which you shouldn't be listening to anyway.
Right.
But this was something unique. We've never seen everybody, literally, and not just toxic fan bros or whatever, like fan people. It's like, this was just everyone. You saw that trailer and you went, ugh.
I picture it as like the Carl Weathers Schwarzenegger handshake, where like both sides of the internet are like, yeah, this sucks.
We found our
common cause.
So they
did. Well, my guess too is that the people in the studio, they knew that it didn't look right. But they thought close enough. We'll be okay.
They were wrong.
And then when people reacted, they were like, okay.
Did they do any reshoots, or did they just go through and just digitally change the character
digitally.
Design? That was it?
It's the same.
There's no reshoots or anything?
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about digital, at least, is they didn't have to fly these, you know, expensive actors back in. You didn't have to get Jim Carrey in or, you know, James Marsden, whatever he's doing. But, you know, that takes time, especially for reshoots. You know, they already signed their contract, and now it's like, well, you can't hire someone else. So they've got you. They're going to charge you $1 million or $2 million to do, you know, a couple reshoots. So they listened to people. It looked great. I mean, when we saw that new design, I didn't hear anyone go, oh, they still messed it up. The whole internet, again, collectively was like, whoa, they did it.
He looks like he's supposed to look like.
Yeah. And so it ended up being a great design. And, you know, I just reactions from this movie. I saw it with Ryan. And
I saw it with Bella.
And we had a blast. We absolutely loved it. And especially being fans of the game. Is it groundbreaking? No. Is it formulaic? Sure. But, you know, it's a solid kids movie. It, you know, it goes through all the, it's a road movie, friends, they get mad, they get back. I mean, it's such a movie full of these formulas, but I thought the animation looked really good. The CG was good. I thought it was funny. I mean, Ben Schwartz voices Sonic, who, if you're a comedy person, if you watch Parks and Rec.
Jean-Ralphio
Saperstein. But if you listen to Comedy Bang Bang, you know who Ben Schwartz is. And I thought his voice worked really well with Sonic. He's, I mean, he's an improviser. He just did a national tour with Thomas Middleditch.
Oh, did he?
So they went on tour, Middleditch and Schwartz, and their whole show's improvised, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's what this guy does. So I'm sure there were some lines in there, but probably most of the jokes and stuff were improvised by him. He's good at that. And, you know, Sonic always had that kind of a snarky, smart aleck attitude.
Yeah,
he
had like a lovable smart aleck. Yeah. I mean, just like Detective Pikachu, honestly.
So I think that worked really well. Schwartz is really good at that. He's his type of comedy. So I think it fit the character. But also, this movie had a surprising amount of heart to it, which I didn't. I just thought it was going to be a goofy kids movie. But, you know, with the two of them, the best friends thing, the whole element of
becoming
friends and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually, I didn't even expect this movie to go there at all. And
And it did.
Yeah. So I don't know. Tom, as a non-video game person, what was your reaction to this?
It was a kids movie.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're 10 and under, especially someone who has no real love for the character, like, sure. It's like, It's fine.
Yeah.
And I think, like, yeah, I think 10 and under. But I took my 15-year-old because I was like, you want to go see Sonic? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And he said he liked it. Yeah. But for me, I was just like, it's a serviceable kids
but
movie.
There's two demographics. I think that anyone would enjoy this movie. I think it's just, you know, there's humor for the kids. There's stuff for the adults to enjoy, right? Like, there's anybody can enjoy this movie. But there's two demographics that are going to love it. Kids in general.
Yeah.
Because it's just a silly, fun animated movie, and video game lovers. Like, your son is 15,
right?
So he's not in that 10 and under or 12 and under whatever kids demographic. But if you play games, there's so much in here to unpack. Like, you got to see the first level we talked about is the Green Hill Zone on the Sega Genesis game, and the town they go to is called, isn't it,
Green Hills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Sonic's talking about his world, which I think they did make up some mythology here, because I didn't remember any of that backstory stuff.
No,
But you got to see those.
Well, you also got to see the world. You got to see level one, and you got to see.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to see it, but in a super high definition 3D render. The closest thing we've gotten to that is probably like Sonic Adventures on Sega Dreamcast, where it's 3D. And you get to explore a little bit
more.
Well,
they brought Sonic in to a whole bunch of like Mario games. So, like, he's in Super Smash Brothers. He's in all kinds of stuff. And I think there was even a Sonic game for the DS, maybe, or.
Probably
the Switch,
but I mean, with this movie though, they recreated the original stuff though,
yes.
So that stuff's newer, and the fans that grew up with Genesis in the 90s aren't going to even know probably some of that stuff. But here, you got to see the loop-de-loops and the beautiful green landscape. I mean, that world is pulled directly from the games, the original ones. So I think for the fans, you're going to see all that stuff. And then we'll get into little Easter eggs as we go. But I kept spotting them, and the person next to me, I didn't know anything, like Tom, about the games. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him about all the different stuff that I found.
Sure,
like,
okay.
And so I like that it wasn't, you can tell when a movie's winking at you. And I didn't feel like this one did.
Like we said, I think, and even Marvel is really good at it. DC is not good at it.
No.
But like throwing in little, we'll see. I think throwing in the fan service, you know, subtly, mm-hmm. where you've got, you know, even in Black Widow, where Guardian's wearing his, you know, the Guardian costume, where it's like, all right, he was a character, but, you know, the suit looks like it's supposed to look like, but it's a different version, you know? So, and this one is also really, it's not like, you know, big arrows pointing at like, hey, this is a thing. Like, this is a joke.
Right, like I've seen some movies where it's like, I know nothing about the original property, and even I know I'm getting fed fans.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just like everything stops and focuses on
Look at this one thing. So this movie, it's a cold open. You see Sonic running through what we've come to find out as San Francisco, being chased by Dr. Robotnik. And it's basically like, hi, my name's Sonic. I bet you're wondering how I got here. And then we do like a flashback, and we go
to the beginning.
And we, like Kevin talked about, we see like it's the original first level and other levels from the original game.
He's a little
game.
Kid.
He's a little
baby Sonic. Yeah.
We find out that this owl has been protecting him, and he's kind of Superman-esque, where they're like, look, you can't show off your powers. Like, the people are going to come after you. You got to keep your powers secret. And of course,
but my dog is stuck in that car.
Yeah. Oh no, we're gonna let him die, but I won't save my dad. Like, that's no big deal.
And I don't remember this owl from.
Unless it's something.
What was it called? Like Longtooth or something? I can't remember.
Longclaw?
Was it Longclaw?
Yeah.
I don't remember that character. But honestly, I don't know why.
I want to go back to this world.
It was really cool. Yeah. But. They set up Sonic being a different world. That was one question. Like, how are they going to explain? There's the real world that Sonic's in these trailers, and he looks like him, right?
The little blue devil.
It's not exactly what a hedgehog looks
That's
like.
That's my favorite part of this whole movie.
Yeah.
Is the crazy guy who's I told you.
Exactly. So, but I don't remember this part, but I was actually like getting kind of emotional in the beginning Sonic, where I'm like, why is this Sonic the Hedgehog movie in the first 5 minutes? Like, it was really well done.
It pulled an up.
Yeah.
We're just like, whoa.
Because he's a
kid.
He's a kid, and his adoptive parent is about to be killed.
Right. Yeah.
It's like.
And so we find out that the first bit of fan service is the rings. So in the game, that's part of the objective, right, is to collect the rings. When you get hit by something, you lose your rings, and sometimes you can pick them back up. In the movie, he's got a bag of rings, and they are
basically. I always thought it was kind of like a dog eating its own vomit.
Okay.
You get hit, all the rings pour out of you.
You pick it back up.
And then you scoop them back up. I'm like, Sonic's kind of gross if
you're
think
gross,
about it.
Sonic. So we, in this version, the rings are basically portals to other dimensions. And there's like, he's got a map of a bunch of different worlds that he can go to. And Longclaw basically says, once you're found out, you got to go like to the next world. And so he has made this life for him on Earth. And it's great, like sort of great. Right. Like he's got all these different things he can do. He's got his own little lair. He's I do like that he's reading Flash comics, which I always appreciate.
That's great.
You know? And I was like,
that's the other thing. This movie, I don't remember. This movie is very meta.
In what way?
We're in a world where Sonic's making constant pop culture references.
Oh, sure.
Usually in movies, they don't mention so many different, like, because this is a Sega movie.
Right.
So you don't usually get so many DC references and different actors and other movies. You just don't usually get that. The only thing that they don't reference at all in this movie is video games,
video games.
I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Because that would kind of blur the line between like, well, wait a minute. If there are video games, because we're already talking about famous people and movies
right.
and all that. So if there are video games, well, why isn't there a Sonic one? You know,
oh,
you would start asking
sure.
questions about how does this make sense? So I like that they didn't even bring up video games.
Right.
You know, they're not playing Fortnite in the background, or they're not putting any product placement with video games.
They're
in
not,
there.
Nobody's playing a Sega
now, what
Genesis?
If they had been playing Angry Birds? What would you have been
that? That's just a phone app. You know? It's fine.
But it is, I was actually, Bella asked, she's like, are there any other comic books about fast people? I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, The Flash, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, is there anything else? I was like, no. Quicksilver never had a comic book, and that's the only other one that exists, like, you know, that is out there. So yeah, he's, you know, he's living a pretty decent life where he can kind of go wherever.
He has a lair.
He has a lair that's got like a beanbag, and you know, it's,
I like, he's basically collected trash and
yeah.
he repurposed it. So it's like he uses a washing or a dryer and he runs in it. He's
right.
like, I've got a treadmill. He's got an old TV. He's got the comics. He's got his little paddle ball.
No, he gets that later.
I thought he still played. He has ping pong.
Yeah, he has
ping pong table.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
he's got all these different things that he's collected. And he seemingly is having a great time because he's free and can play all his games, but he has no one to talk to.
Right. He sees, he ends up watching a baseball game, and he gets a little emotional where just like the kid hits the walk-off home run. He gives high fives to everybody, and he can't do that. So we are also introduced to James Marsden, who I got to tell you is deceptively good at doing the CG thing. Like, there's never a moment
oh, yeah.
where, like, I feel like he's off with the character, you know? Like, sometimes that happens where, like, they're looking a little bit too high or whatever.
Yeah.
But was he in Hop?
Yes. So, 10 years ago, he
okay.
was also in a little buddy CG movie.
Yeah.
But a little bunny buddy
yeah,
CG
that's right,
movie.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, James Marsden is great in this movie.
He's...
Like,
Yeah.
I like James Marsden. I like him. I think he's been good. I really liked him in Westworld. He's been in a lot of stuff that I've liked. I mean, he's fine in the X-Men stuff. I like him, too.
Superman Returns.
Oh, yeah. He plays... The
Lois's husband,
yeah. But I'm telling you, in this movie, I mean, the dude is charismatic.
He's funny.
I thought very funny. I liked his kind of straight man personality, but he's goofy still.
Uh-huh.
But to play off Sonic, he's that straight man, of course, as most of these road movies have one.
Right.
And yeah, I just thought it was great. I did not expect him to be that good in this movie.
No, it's
it was a surprise.
It's kind of an
unsung.
He's not unsung, but like it's a
thankless role.
It's a thankless role. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
He yeah. is. He's playing. Yeah. He's playing against nothing, I assume. I have to
for
believe maybe maybe he's got like a voice track in his ear where he can.
Most of the time now they do it with actors, though.
Like there's somebody
there. Probably someone there.
Okay. So yeah. So he's like the local sheriff, and he's ready to get out of this town. He's got his vet wife, and they're getting ready. He's applied
veterinarian.
For veterinarians. Oh yeah, right, sir.
She's not, I mean, that could be
no
one
no
of,
you're
yeah,
right
no.
you're right so where he's applied for the San Francisco Police Department, and he's been accepted and he's ready to go.
That turtle thing killed me.
Oh my God, so good
both times.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there on the highway, and he's just waiting for a speeder. It's like a speed trap type thing,
right?
And then he clocks a turtle going like 0.2 miles an
hour. 0.01.
And meanwhile Sonic is is around the car, and he's using the speedometer to clock himself.
Yeah, he just to see how fast he can go.
And then eventually he goes and picks up this poor turtle.
He's like, you ready for the ride of your life? And takes off.
And when
off.
He drops him and then goes back, I mean, I thought he sent that little turtle flying and was not going to pick him up, where I was like, holy, and then he gets him like, all
right. Right.
And puts him down, and you can see the turtle just like visibly shaking. Like, I don't know.
It was a good little gag.
The humor bits like that really worked for me. It's goofy. I because I'm a fan of Ben Schwartz, like, yeah. I really liked his voice work, and I thought that the writing in this was very like the humor in a Lego movie or Lego Batman. There was some of that just goofy, ridiculous humor that just hits you like, right. What are we doing here?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's fun.
But
his biggest problem was like, what was the problem they called him for? Like,
there's a gang war, blah blah. He was just like, no, I'm just kidding. Like,
a duck stole a bagel,
and they want it back.
Yeah,
that's. So of course Martson takes off, and
so he's a cop that's living in a town where there's no crime,
basically.
So he wants to do something. He says, "I want to protect people. I signed up," and I guess his dad and grandpa before him were the sheriffs.
His wife kind of says, she's like, "There's been a Wachowski in this town, pregnant this town for the last 100 years or whatever." So I do like that. Sonic refers to him as Donut Lord.
Yeah.
And he's like, why do you keep calling me that? He's like, well, you talk to the donuts, and then if you don't like what they say back, you eat them.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? No, that's not. All right.
But there's a lot of that kind of humor where it's just very random, right? Yes, like where it cuts to him talking to a donut sometimes.
Where he's like practicing his speech to tell everybody that he's leaving when he's talking to a donut.
Yeah. And I don't know. That hit for me. Is it goofy? Yes. Is it? I mean, it's not a sophisticated type of humor. But
no. I think this is a not stellar, but it's a very good, very funny kids movie.
Yeah.
It hit right at the right time where Doolittle completely tanked.
Yeah, this is what a kids movie should be. You know, when you look at Doolittle trying to take itself so seriously, and all the other mess that's in that, and then you see this movie where it's nonstop fun. I mean, the kids in my theater loved this, and Ryan included. What about your guys? I mean, were the kids having a?
Were no kids.
Really?
It was all like, best I could tell. Yeah. It was all like teenagers and up. Huh. It was like 15 to 30 year olds. Probably the oldest person in the theater.
Wow, all right.
That's awkward.
But this has that humor.
I'm getting used to it.
It has the humor where the kids are going to enjoy it for the goofiness, but there's a lot of stuff also in there for the adults that,
There's a lot of, there's a lot of stuff in there for the adults. So Sonic decides, he sees these kids playing baseball, so he decides to go play baseball by himself. So, of course, he does the Bugs Bunny thing where he's the pitcher and the catcher and the batter and he's everywhere.
Our older listeners, the Kenny Rogers thing.
Fine. Yeah, sure. So he gets upset because he can't give anybody. He hits the home run. He drives in the winning run, but he can't give anybody a high five. So he gets pissed and he starts running really hard. And he accidentally unlocks a power that he didn't know that he had. And he sets off basically an EMP around this town and shuts it down. So that gets the attention of the government. And I do like where even the government just kind of like, I don't know what it could be this. And it could, like, I picture that as like what the government is at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Just like, it could be all these different things. And so they decide to call in Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah. I really appreciated the absurdity and the, and just the worthlessness of the government and the military.
Completely worthless.
I really feel like, again, that's one of those things for adults where kids are not going to pick up and they're just goofy or whatever. But when you see how ridiculous they are and how they just don't have any idea or grasp of what's going on. And and they call in Dr. Robotnik.
And then everybody's like, oh no, not that guy.
Like, can we just say, for anyone who grew up with Jim Carrey
in the
90s,
this is the Jim Carrey I grew up with.
This is it. I grew up with Dumb and Dumber, The Mask,
Ace Ventura.
Those were my movies.
Yep.
And
Liar Liar, even. Like,
which was very good. I just feel like it's not quite as goofy as those others.
He's toned down. Like, he tones down that craziness, but it's like when he gets into the the courtroom, then he ramps it up. Yeah.
So, Jim Carrey, I mean, he's done some really good work, but as far as that kind of movie, unless you're talking about Dumb and Dumber 2, like, that's the last time he even went back to that well.
Yeah.
And it was to see this energy, it was an energy I haven't seen Jim Carrey have in a long time.
Yeah,
have you seen Kidding on Showtime?
Is that the one where he's like the kid show host?
Mr. Rogers. It's really good, but I mean, still, it's not.
That's like an Eternal Sunshine role, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a dark kind of a dark comedy type thing. So you just don't see that type of energy from him, even when he's in good stuff. And this was,
well, like, he is completely, and to his credit, it was a hard shtick to get rid of, right? Like, sure. He built his career on that Ace Ventura, The Mask, yeah. All that stuff. He, you know, that's how he, even on Living Color, he did all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure.
Batman Forever. Like, Batman Forever was full Jim Carrey.
Oh, my
like,
gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and it was great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's exactly what it's supposed to be, though, right? Like
the Batman. Yes.
Yeah. That's,
yes.
You know, it worked perfectly in that
he's
movie.
He's doing it. He's doing a Frank Gershon.
Frank Gorshin.
Gorshin. Turned up to 11.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is. So it was funny to see him go back to that, because I haven't seen him do that in 20 years. Yeah. You know?
It's fun. This is, again, there's like, that wouldn't work in the MCU. You know, right? Like,
sure.
That type of villain would not work because the MCU is established and more grounded, whatever. But in this goofy video game universe, like, that,
you know,
villain,
he could be Arcade. Well, that could work.
Okay, but I'm just saying. What I'm saying is that performance in another movie would seem very weird. Like, you'd say that person's chewing scenery and it's over the top.
These days, that's only going to work in a kid's movie.
Yeah. But the fact that it was a kid's movie and a video game, just because you do kind of hold them. I mean, it's a different universe. It's a different type of movie. And because he's a video game villain, and they somehow, I still don't know how they grounded and made a Dr. Robotnik that even could exist with real people.
Right.
Kudos to them. And, you know, it didn't always work, but more often than not, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought he was fun to watch. Yeah. Like, and I think it was also just, it was fun to see that version of Jim Carrey again. Yeah. So.
And also, I don't remember the last time I've seen Jim Carrey be mean.
He's usually not. Well, I think he.
Right? I mean, he can be really goofy and weird, but like, Dr. Robotnik is an awful person.
Oh yeah,
he is horrible to everybody. His assistant, the government. You know, he basically thinks he's the smartest person in the world, and everyone's below him. So he just talks down to everyone.
One of my favorite lines is when he's arguing with his assistant. Yeah. And he's like, "Put your hand on your chest and put yourself against that wall," so he doesn't have to do it. I was like, "That's hilarious!"
Right? Yeah, no, it's funny.
So Robotnik shows up in the town, and he runs into Neil McDonough, who I think is a fantastic actor. Mm. That guy was always my idea of like. A live version of Barry Allen.
Oh.
Like, he would have been a great, maybe like 10 years ago, he would have been a great Barry Allen.
Interesting. Okay.
Even maybe, nah, he actually does the voice of the Green Arrow in one of the shorts, but I thought he would be a great Barry.
I mean, how old is he though? I feel like even 10 years ago, he would have been a little old.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, because I always think like Barry, this is weird. Like, Barry was the transitional Flash for me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you put him in one movie and you have Wally take over in the second one, you know?
Yeah.
So he, you know, he has this great interaction with Neil McDonough, who destroyed, like, he's the perfect straight man to Jim Carrey, you know, doing the Jim Carrey thing. And basically he sends like Dr. Robotnik's entire plan is centered around these robots, and he sends the drones out and he's tracking things, and, he ends up like, you know, that's the thing. So basically from here on out, it's a road movie where James Marsden, we find out that the bag of rings falls into San Francisco.
Well, Sonic realizes that people are after him, so he has to use the rings. It's not safe anymore.
And he has to go to Mushroom Land, and he is not wanting to go to Mushroom Land.
I really loved that callback, and I love that they planted that. But he goes to the only place he thought would be safe, and so he goes to the Donut Lord's garage, and he goes to open up a ring, and that's when, like, in the previews you've
seen,
the James Marsden finds him, and he yells, and
the bag falls into on top of the highest building in San Francisco.
And James Marsden's getting ready to move there, so he's wearing a San Francisco shirt. He's already retired, basically, when the blackout happens and everything. And then the goofy guy, Adam Pally's calling him.
Driving
me
crazy.
Like, what should I? I don't know what to do. And he's like, okay, call whoever. And then he's like, okay, let me see if I remember this. And he hangs up and he's like, okay, what was the first thing
he said? And then he just crosses his arms and looks at the phones. And I was like, oh, you're free.
It's good.
You're making me angry. So Sonic tries to figure, or James Marsden is trying to figure out what the hell to do with Sonic, and this is where Dr. Robotnik like finds a quill of Sonic's on the side of the
James Marsden found it when he was doing like the speedometer stuff out in the field.
But Dr. Robotnik shows up at the house, and James Marsden kind of plays it off, and this is another great scene. kind of where Robotnik is just a complete jerk off like the entire time. And he punches him. That's what it is. Robotnik gets into the house and he punches Robotnik in the face and takes Sonic and they take off. And this is where the road movie gets. And
he says he's from the electric company.
Yeah.
I just love that he's dressed up in this huge, this trench coat, all black, looking very ominous. And he's like, electric company.
And he was just like, oh, yeah. How's my friend Stan? He was like, oh, Stan, what a great guy. Yeah. And he was like, well, Stan works for the gas company. He's like, yeah. this is where the road, and this is honestly, there's not much to say here. Like this
yeah,
is
there's
all,
not, there's not much of a
well,
plot.
Then, yeah,
this is all in the trailer. Yeah. Like this whole sequence is in the trailer of them at the bar and, you know, throwing the darts and
it's like little vignettes of them on the road.
Yeah.
Basically.
Them in the hotel and James Marsden, you know, starts to develop a friendship.
Yeah.
With
that's
Sonic.
That's the whole purpose of the road thing. Because in the beginning, of course, I mean, this looks like a little alien and he thinks he's crazy. And then he's
crazy
just like,
Pete though.
Yeah, oh my.
I told you
that is probably the best bit in the movie where there's a crazy the town crazy blue devil who's talking about that's setting up traps and everything and he gets caught in his own traps.
The last scene when he's got
the chainsaw
and just give me the chainsaw. So they're on the road, Crazy Carl. They're on the road basically. Bella said her favorite thing was when Sonic goes into, this was a little bit of fan service, is one of Sonic's moves in the games is the ball that can roll through things.
Well, that's what I like too, is you actually get to see an origin
and you hear the sound, like the sound effect they use is the sound effect from the game.
But you know, Sonic has these, I mean, he spins and as he charges up he gets basically electricity power,
right,
and so him unlocking that power, you're actually seeing Sonic discover
those powers
that we've seen the whole time, but he doesn't know how to use them yet. And so that,
like Superman,
there you go. And so yeah, I like that you get to see that, and I also like that he didn't just have them the entire movie. Because
he had them, but he never knew how to unlock them.
Right.
Yeah,
so
he did it by accident.
So you didn't get a whole bunch of that fan service just shoved in because you got it. It paid off later on.
Yeah.
And also it would have been like, well, he could basically just do anything. I mean, he's pretty overpowered. He's already super fast. And then you give him lightning powers and spin powers and
rocket ball powers. Yeah. But this was Bella's favorite part, is when he blows up the big tank that Robotnik is chasing them with, and James Marsden's like, how are you alive? And he's like, I have no idea. And then how it kept like breaking down. Like, she loved how, like, every time they think they'd beat one, it'd make a smaller one and then a smaller one and a smaller one.
So, you know, when they go to the bar, they go to a biker bar and there's a bunch of tough guys there, and a brawl ensues and misunderstandings. It's goofy. But how about that Quicksilver-esque scene? I thought it was pretty cool.
I think it's a shame that has been done already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
if it had never been done, your mind would have been blown.
Like, and they do it multiple times in this movie. And even Bella was like, why are they all stopped? I'm like, well, they're not. He's just really fast.
But, you know, I do think,
but I agree. Like,
I do think that what's cool, just like with Quicksilver, is it's really hard to even comprehend how fast a superhero is.
Yeah.
So when it slows down like that, I do like that you get an understanding, or, you know, a basis for their powers, and you can see that it's like, yeah, he moves fast, but he's moving so fast that, you know, you're not moving.
It's one of the few scenes in Justice League that I like, is when Superman comes back from the dead and he's fighting off the Justice League, and the Flash does the Quicksilver scene, but Superman is so much faster that he's already
can actually look.
He's like, his eyes move, and then the look on Barry's face is like, oh no,
sure,
I'm in trouble. It's the only good scene in that entire movie.
That was fun. I mean, we're all going to go back to, oh, that was the Quicksilver scene. But I think there's a way that you can pay homage to a movie.
Sure.
I mean, it's really hard, you know, where is the line? Where do you draw the line between, oh, you stole that scene and you're paying homage? Because how many films in history have paid tribute
and
homage?
Once you kind of establish it, it's like, well, what else?
What else can you do?
How else can you convey it?
Right.
Unless you have it like where you don't film anything, where, you know, like you see the Flash or whoever stand there and then he comes right back and then everything's done.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
That's the
so,
only...
right. How else do you show a super fast, a speedster for lack of a better word.
Was that Matthew Vaughn, or was that First Class that he did?
No, it was Days of Future Past. Was it really?
Yeah. Singer did Days of Future Past.
He only did First Class, Vaughn.
He's on as like an executive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. If you've got a speedster, how do you show what they're doing when they're going super fast? Well, everything has to be slowed down.
Right.
So that's why I don't think of it as like, oh, they already did it, because it was handled really well and it's the best way to show it. And it was fun, right?
Yeah.
In a comedy, just how
totally
Quicksilver
works.
Has that, you know, he's funny, right?
Right.
In those movies. So I think it was great to have Sonic like goofing around. Schwartz got to do his goofy improvisation and everything during it, and it's fun. They all end up, you know, hitting each other in the head and tied together. And
they do the Quicksilver thing.
Yeah, it's fun.
So now he's wanted by the entire government wants a hold of Tom and Sonic. So Tom shows up at his wife's sister's house. I think his wife's sister was hilarious, where she does not like Tom at all. And it's also, at one point I was like, what did he do?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What did he do?
Because he seems like a really
stand up guy.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. But, you know, I mean, I think we've all had that happen or seen that.
Oh,
where
sure.
Someone just doesn't like you for no reason.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? What did I ever do? And sometimes people are like that, and they hold a grudge forever, or not even a grudge, but they just not give you a chance.
They're not give you a chance.
And with family, that can happen a lot. Where how many times have you dated someone, or someone in your family has dated someone, and everybody in the family is like, ugh, you know, like
all of my girlfriends, except for
and
my
your
wife.
In-laws,
yeah, and my in-laws. Yeah.
So I thought that it was funny. Is not something you expect, especially in a kids movie,
right?
But it's like. Yeah,
she was not pleased.
No reason
with
to not like
whatsoever.
Him, but she hates him. She's like, from the moment that Marsden calls his wife at the sister's house.
Hang up.
And she goes, D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Like, stuff like that. I mean, this is a kid's movie.
Right.
And they're joking about divorce. Like, those are the things that you just don't expect.
It's interesting. I feel like just that's the times now. Like, I'm interested in what the divorce rate's like, 50% or some crazy...
Yeah, it's
not a taboo subject anymore.
You're not blowing a kid's mind with the existence
right,
of divorce.
Exactly.
At this point.
So I mean, just to get towards the end here is like they get to San Francisco, they get the rings, and this is where we jump back to the beginning of the movie where Sonic is being chased by Dr. Robotnik, and it's just all hell is breaking loose inside the city. There was at one point I was like, feel like you want to get out of this city. Like, we've talked about this a million times about collateral damage.
I was seeing the same thing with Dr. Robotnik is blowing this city up.
Right.
And so, you know, eventually they had to get out of there, which they do.
They did. And then, he's using his rings to like kind of jump in front. So what happens?
It was cool to see. I mean, they basically went on an international tour.
Yeah.
They go to the desert. They go to Paris, right?
Yeah, they go through the pyramids.
Yeah, I thought it was fun that they kept jumping through the rings.
They destroyed the Sphinx.
They did, yeah.
I'm like should we talk about the fact that they destroyed the Sphinx?
No, we're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not.
Sonic will fix it. It's fine. He's very fast.
He can rebuild the Sphinx.
Yeah, not a problem. So they end up, like, the final confrontation is back in Green Hills, and they outsmart Dr. Robotnik, and they win the day, and you think Sonic is dead, but... because Tom made friends with him, I guess, like that brought him back to life. So I don't like.
It's just
whatever.
That silly.
Like,
that's
whatever.
You know, he's basically Robotnik had him dead to rights, and he was on his last life.
Right.
One ring left or whatever. And it just when he accepted Tom's friendship, that was the little boost he needed. I think it, like, he unlocked his power or whatever. Like, he would have died, but he was able to tap into the electricity
and he
thing.
Knocked Dr. Robotnik back into the mushroom dimension, and the ring closes, and basically Sonic is now living with Tom and his wife. Like, Tom went back to Sonic's lair and it was just like, all right man, time for bed. He's like, it's 3 o'clock.
When that general comes to his house to just a little
line.
Something the government
was
like,
oh,
thank you.
All right. It's $50 at Olive Garden. He's like, have you tried the unlimited
possible? Much did Olive Garden pay for this movie?
A little bit. I have to believe, like, there's a lot of references to Olive Garden
in
here.
Yes, there are.
I thought it was a great
it is a
gag,
good bit.
Though.
It's
I
a
mean,
good bit.
That's the thing. If you're going to do product placement, at least do it in a way that's entertaining. Like,
yeah, sure.
I mean, that was a good gag.
But yeah, so Sonic is living above, like, Tom must have gone back to his lair and gotten all of his stuff and
put a dryer in the attic. That was the only thing. Okay, for all the things in this movie,
sure.
I'm not going to be like, oh, wait a minute here. But I was like, how'd they get all that stuff in the attic? It has like a pull down ladder to get up
there. It's that's a pretty impressive.
How'd the dog get up the ladder?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
There were some questions there at the end. I definitely could see that. But yeah, it was a nice moment because, Tom had restored his. He gave him his own lair, but at their house.
Right.
Them.
And then so we go back to the mushroom world, and this is where we see Jim Carrey shaving his head bald. He's got the big mustache, and he is basically the Dr. Robotnik from the video games at this point. He's completely crazy.
But he's such a genius. This is the challenge that he needs because he's so bored on Earth and no one is his equal. He talks down to everyone. Everything's so simple, and he's created all this technology that people can't even understand. So he gets to a mushroom planet and says to himself, he's like, oh, you know, here's this isolated planet with no intelligent life and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, perfect, I'll be out of here in no time.
It'll take somebody else a lifetime to get out of here. I'll be home by Christmas.
Yeah, and he's taken his ship that got transferred there, and he's taken all the parts he needs and made a little backpack, and he's off on his adventure.
And I do like where he's got the rock.
Like yeah. He's got the, like, oh my gosh. His assistant, Stone. Right?
Stone.
Because his assistant was Stone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's making little puns with the rock and
throwing it ahead of him.
Yeah.
And then I knew there was going to be something. I don't think they could do a Sonic movie without having.
The first post credit is the robot.
Was there
name.
More? There was one, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's an actual post credit.
Yeah. Left. So they introduced. So in Sonic 2, the video game, there was a second character called Tails.
Yeah.
And they introduced
this
Tails.
This is huge. I mean,
like,
this
Tails
is. This is the most fan service in a good way, again.
Yeah.
I mean, when there was another scene coming and I turned to Ryan,
I knew
and I'm
it
like,
had to, it had
I'm
to
like,
be.
It's got to be Tails. It's and especially Tails. When a ring opened up, I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like he's like a little fox with double tails, and he can use the tails to
as
fly.
A helicopter.
And he's looking for Sonic.
Yeah.
He comes from the other world. He's looking for Sonic.
Bring it on.
Yeah. And then Sonic 2.
As long as
they don't introduce Knuckles, I think we'll be all right.
They can, but they got to get Tails.
Is that the Scrappy Doo of the Sonic universe?
No, Sonic. No,
no
Knuckles is
cool.
Like the bad guy. He thought he was a bad guy.
You thought he was a bad guy, but he joins the team.
Yeah,
later.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I mean,
Scrappy Doo.
No, he's cool, but they got to get through Tails first. I mean, this was
a great
kids movie.
Yeah,
and it accomplishes exactly what it sets out to do. I think you've got to give it credit and judge it based on, you know, what is it trying to do here.
Right.
I think it's the kids will love it. The adults are entertained by it. It's a fun movie. The CG was really good. I thought
it looked really
good. Not just the redesign, but I thought the way they incorporated Sonic, because, you know, sometimes movies can be a little wonky with the
sure.
Okay, there's one coming up next week. I haven't seen it, but Harrison Ford spends the movie with a dog. That dog does not look like a dog.
Do not want to see that movie.
That looks brutal.
So, you know, there's sometimes the CG stuff doesn't blend in, and you're talking about maybe it's a little more uncanny, but if they can't get a dog to look right, it's like to get a blue hedgehog to blend in with the world.
I don't know. I feel like a blue lightning laden hedgehog is easier than trying to mimic a real life dog.
But I think that you should be able to incorporate a creature that exists with real life better than an alien creature that does a cartoon character.
I think you should use a real dog.
But I don't know that that's true, because you know what a dog should look like. You
and how it should move.
You don't know what a little alien creature should look like. So I think you have more margin for error in something like that.
That's possible. I think it's both right. I mean, I totally get the argument. I'm just saying, like, the way they incorporated him in live action, I think they did a really great job with it. Again, the redesign is perfect. What they did, like, when they came back with that second Sonic,
they nailed
it.
Yeah.
You know, the big eyes.
It's amazing how different he looked. Like, it's just
like,
what were you doing?
I looked at it again yesterday.
What were you doing?
I think they were trying to make it look,
have it be its own thing.
They were trying to make it look realistic. Yeah.
They were trying to make, like, what would he look like in real life?
Right.
What would a cartoon look like in real life?
It was like, oh, that, but people don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, just, I mean, what would a Pikachu look like in real life? He looks like a freaking Pikachu, looks in every other.
Yeah.
Like, keep the character on model. That's the whole point of it. So, yeah.
I will say, we did get some interesting trailers real quick. So, we got a new SpongeBob trailer, which was, I was like, oh, wow, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
All right. That's still pumping them out.
That last one made money.
It was a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
It was a huge hit.
Chugging.
The last two made money, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
is there
both
two? This is the
SpongeBob
third one?
Movies, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're always like 10 years apart. It's really interesting that they don't crank these out, but there's also like a Broadway musical that does well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's...
There's a SpongeBob musical?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. But it's... like, I asked Bella, I was like, do you like SpongeBob? She's like, no, not really. I was like, all right, who the hell is this movie for? But maybe there's a whole...
Me and Katie.
Yeah, I think at this point there's a lot of adults.
Yeah,
that
yeah
watch
right, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we'll watch SpongeBob with Ryan all the time.
Yeah. But then there's a new Scooby-Doo movie.
There's another.
It's an animated.
It's like baby Scooby-Doo.
I don't like.
I thought it looked humorous, but I didn't like how much Scooby talks now.
That's what I thought. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, he would talk, but it was like little phrase, like a one.
It was like a word or two here, and he's got whole sentences.
Now he's talking.
Yeah,
and they got rid of, it's no longer Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, that's
which
stupid.
Sucks.
That's
I don't
stupid.
Get what that was about.
He should have kept. I mean, he was perfect.
Yeah,
and he loved doing it.
And he was like, "Yeah, I'll do whatever you want."
And I
he
I don't
no
get,
Casey Kasem,
but you're right, he was better.
But also there is no Casey Kasem. So, also, Casey Kasem made the character weird.
He made him very weird.
Why?
He turned him into a vegetarian.
Because Casey Kasem was a vegan.
Yeah.
And he issued an edict saying he wouldn't voice Shaggy unless Shaggy was also a vegan. And so, and then it meant that they couldn't do any tie-ins with like Burger King,
right,
or a McDonald's. Like
eating a bunch of hamburgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, so even like, remember his Dagwood sandwich.
That's
like
why
fried.
He always had sandwiches.
No, I mean, even the old Shaggy had, you know, like
this thing didn't happen till like late into his run.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah,
you're
yeah.
going to see things from the 70s and 80s where Shaggy's eating
okay.
meat.
Gotcha.
But like when you start seeing the later stuff that Casey Kasem voiced,
yeah,
which is, I think, part of the reason why they went ahead and gave it to Matthew Lillard
well,
after the
I also,
movie.
Yeah, that's
because it
once
was,
he nailed it in the movie,
and they
like,
were
oh.
just like, okay, you're a lot easier to work with. And this guy's dying, and I mean, oh. he was old, but also it's like, if you had Matthew Lillard, he was in the movie, he was great, he did a great Shaggy, he loved doing it. I don't feel like he was holding them up for a bunch of money.
I doubt it.
And it's like, then let this guy be the voice for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, the guy that does the voice of Mickey Mouse now looks like he's like 35 years old.
Oh, really?
But I think it's because they know that, like, okay, well, then this guy can do it for 30
years. Well, it's
years.
The same Scooby.
Yeah.
It's the same Fred.
Right.
Well, I guess this Fred, it's not the same
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah, I don't
but,
think this one.
But the adult Fred's always been the same.
Frank Welker.
Yeah, he's yeah. Frank Welker. But, so, yeah, I felt bad for her. I think Lillard even like says like I found out when I saw the trailer
yeah
that they were making a Scooby-Doo movie and I wasn't Shaggy
yeah
which sucks
yeah
so yeah but it was just like all right we're getting a new batch of kids stuff mm-hmm. like it's not just the Disney stuff at this point like we're getting some other companies are retreading some of their yeah. other properties.
Well, I'm happy for this movie. I
no,
just,
it was,
with
it
the changes
it.
They
yeah,
made
sure.
with the delay and with all the extra money they had to put into it, the last thing I wanted to see was them do all that and it fail. So
yeah, no, I'm glad that
it's
it
huge.
Fail.
60 plus million 4-day weekend. We'll see how it holds on, but yeah,
good for it.
So, and I'm sure that Sega's like, oh, it's a shame we don't have any other characters people care about. They're like, we should do a shared unit. Oh, maybe, I guess we
have Ninja Gaiden?
Right.
That's, oh.
So, well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/real spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, wherever you're getting your podcast from, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and we like you a little extra.
That's right.
So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Next time we will tackle Fantasy Island.
Ooh.
So until then, Tim decides to stay in Rhyme City.
By Sonic the Hedgehog, too fast for the naked eye. Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic, he can really move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.